Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I'm sure I'm glad you did. Hey, I am very, very excited, folks. I did my show last night. It was a great show. I had a good time. And then afterwards, I took a break. Normally, I'd be painting way into the night, you know, paying the bill. But I took a break and was hanging out with my wife, and I knew our guest today was coming on. And so his special, he's a stand-up comedian. His special is on Tubi, and I will be. We have a link up on our show page for that, and I'll also be posting that direct link on all my social media directly following the show today. But anyway, we wanted to watch it, so we've got a PlayStation 4 with the Tubi app on it. Anybody can get that; it's free. If it's on Roku, anybody can get Tubi. So we watched it, and it was hilarious, and I'm so honored and just excited to have. Mr. Preston Taylor, comedian, on the show today. He's going to be talking about his new stand-up comedy special, Farm to TV. And if the button will work here, there we go. Hey, Preston, how are you?
Hey, Jamie, thank you so much for having me today. Doing fantastic out here. How about yourself?
Oh, I can't complain. You know, I've had worse times in my life. Those red Volvo days.
Oh, goodness, yes. Well, hey, I appreciate you all taking the time out to watch the special last night. Definitely means a lot.
Oh, man. It was fantastic. Let me ask you, now, I am friends with a few, not a lot, but a few folks in your business, stand-up world. And this year, I'll tell you, the two main people that have had it hard, I'm not making light of all the people this past year, you know, that died and got sick and whatnot. The two main groups of people I know that it's been real, real difficult are my DJ friends from, like, the nightclub world, because all the clubs closed.
Yeah.
And my stand-up friends. Well, my DJ friends, some of the stand-up, too, but not to the same extent. The DJ guys that I know and gals, all had these residencies at places, you know, Vegas and LA and stuff.
Of course.
And they all bought houses with infinity pools. And all of a sudden, the money stopped.
Right, exactly.
Dan, it's got to be difficult, though, doing, like, live streams and stuff. Were you doing that kind of stuff?
It was a very, very weird year. I couldn't get into it. And I've told people this that have been asking, I spent the year writing, and you really hit it on the head. I didn't think about DJs. I knew comics was, you know, just because it's my profession, was going to be rough, because we feed off of energy, and summertime last year, and a lot of people were trying the streaming and the Zoom shows and things like that. And I got invited to plenty, but I just couldn't get into it. I told people, maybe some people can, but for me, I want to look you in the eye, you know, when I'm squatting down and telling you that, like, it doesn't work, you know, on the screen quite the same, you know, and I really do make that eye contact with people, you know, because I want to connect with the crowd. I want it to be awkward, because if it feels awkward for you, it feels awkward for everyone else.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things I love, and like I said, we're going to be posting the link up, the direct link. I love Tubi, number one. What a great platform that kind of came out of nowhere and over the past year. And it has really, you know, I hear a lot of independent filmmakers and stuff. They're not complaining because they don't want to make anybody mad. But they're talking a lot about Amazon and it pulling back a little bit from independent film and whatnot. And, you know, Netflix, of course, swooped up all their comedy, you know, they're a certain type of comedy, I should say. And Tubi kind of snuck in there. Now, are you like one of the first stand-up specials on Tubi, or do they have a whole bunch?
They have a whole bunch. Tubi, you hit the nail on the head. I am super impressed with Tubi. It's, you know, if people don't know, it's preloaded too on most new Samsung smart TVs. And so I stumbled upon it last year before, you know, I even had an opportunity to get my special on there. And I've been watching Tubi for about a year now just because you don't have to sign up. You don't have to subscribe. And that's one of the, you know, almost people's pet peeves. Even if it is a free to download the app, you still got to sign up and move the little clicker. And it's like, I don't want to do all this again. And so it skips all of that and you just go straight to whatever you want to watch, and then you get on there and you find out, oh, they have a ton of content. So I'm a huge fan of Tubi and excited for what they're doing, and you've kind of pretty much nailed it. You don't, I don't want to say too much because I know I will possibly be on there soon as well with Farm to TV, but you're right in the sense that Amazon has kind of started pushing back and pulling back from those independent and documentary films and things like that, and they really are kind of doing away with that program because they're feeling like it really isn't hitting their bottom line. Through the Prime and the free subscription with the revenue share. So to me, Tubi has is in a prime opportunity to explode because, I mean, I look at it like this. People don't mind anymore. I know I don't. Listen, if you can tell me that I could stop paying a premium because Netflix and Hulu are going to keep raising their prices, right? And okay, I have to watch a few commercials like I'm in the 90s kid again. I remember watching commercials. I walk in the kitchen and grab a juice. Like, you know, as long as I get free TV, I was like, I don't even have to pay for this. That changes it completely. For me, and I was like, I think it's going to be the next wave. You know, I think Fubo TV does the same thing, and a few of these other ones, Crackle and such, where I really think it's the new wave for a lot of artists.
Oh, absolutely. I'm telling you, it's been a couple years. Me and my wife were sitting around, and we were paying, she wasn't my wife then, but we've been together. One of those deals where you've been together forever. We finally got married last year. But,
congrats.
You know, we bought a house before we got married. But, yeah, well, it was cool. It was a week before the world stopped. I tell so many people that, you know, I was at my wedding reception, and I was being kind of a douche a little bit about it. I was being very cavalier, kind of making fun of everybody. I'm like, man, this is like, you know, SARS. If I'm in, like, Cameroon or something, I'm going to be worried about it, or in Indonesia, but I'm not too concerned. And then a week, so we had the wedding and all that, now everything was great. And then we took a couple days, not really a honeymoon. We live in South Florida, and my wife grew up here, and so she worships at the Temple of Disney, you know? She's all about Disney. And we're 3 hours south of it. So, you know, we go up there, or we used to, like every couple months, you know, for a couple days. Not a big deal. Just stay in a resort, and, you know, life's nice. So we went up there for a couple days just to decompress after all the wedding stuff because, you know, she's Italian and it was a wedding, if you know what I mean. Anyhow, so we're up there with this fancy Japanese steak. I don't know what you call it, where the Japanese guy comes out and he's cutting stuff up on the table and he makes an onion volcano, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we're sitting there with a bunch of people around this big fry table thing. And everybody's phone starts going off. I mean, it was like out of a movie. And I'm like, what the hell? And I don't use a phone. Not because of any political thing. I'm just cheap. I'm like, why do I need to pay another $50 a month? I'm always with my wife. She has a phone. So, you know. Everybody's phone's going off. And they're looking at their phone very discreet. And then, like, this look of fear is coming over everybody's face. I'm like, Oh my God,
wow.
Are the missiles flying? What's going on? And so my wife looks at hers and she's like, they're closing the park. And I'm like, we got to get the hell out of here. If Disney's walking away for money,
you hit the nail on the head right there, right? Disney's walking away for money. Holy cow.
Exactly. I've been paying $25 for a hamburger here for the past couple days. But if they're giving that up, you know, time to go. But yeah, it's crazy. But a lot of my stand-up friends, like you were saying, they were trying to, And there's none of that interaction. I think with stand-up especially, not that I'm an expert, I've just seen a few shows, you know, but it seems to me that you need that back and forth, that energy balance. I know that sounds like California, but that, you know, that, that interaction.
No. You know, to me, I tell people it really is the only reason I do it. You know, I tell people I play, you know, sports growing up and sports in college. And, you know, that's what you're doing. If there was no crowds, I really don't think I would have cared to play that much, right? You're feeding off of the energy of everybody else, whether, you know, it's the home crowd or away crowd, negative. I don't know, I'd rather be at a show right now and just hear boos and negativity because at least you're getting some feedback. You know,
right.
for me on a Zoom call, you know, if I'm getting, you know, 10-second delays on jokes, that's not helping me.
Mm-mm. No, because it's all about timing, and which you are really good at. You've got your act down. I mean, I don't know how long you've been doing stand-up. Were you always, did you know that stand-up was going to be, like, comedy is what, you know, was that in the plan? I know you mentioned during your act you worked a corporate job for a while.
Yeah, no, I when I made the move out here, it was still, you know, hopes of sports. There was the Arena Football League that was still going on at the time. And I actually moved to L.A. When I was 23 in 2008 to play Arena Football for the Los Angeles Avengers. And they actually went under 3 months after I got here, you know, 2008. Fantastic time to come out of college, you know, just great. So after they went down, I actually – modeled for a bit, and then you know, finally got off of my terrified. I had stage fright forever. I couldn't public speak in my classes. You know, high school, college, growing up, like, I hated getting in front of the class. So not my forte. And then just 2010, I tell people I spent some time in New York. I spent 3 months in New York in 2010. And I told him that time changed me. The people, the East Coast, that mentality, which, you know, like, instead of growing up out that direction, you know, people are really nonchalant. They tell you how it is. They don't. They're not. They're
not
really into sugarcoating. No, they don't. And they don't sugarcoat things. And I tell people, but they're very genuine. And I tell people, you know, I was walking down the street in New York, and that's what it was. People bumping into each other during the busy times of the day. Hey, man, F you, all right, whatever, have a great day, you too. You know, and I was like, wow, that's, for me, right, for me it changed something. And then you jump on the subway, and there's somebody down, you know, in one of the cars doing a comedy show, and the next car they're selling you jewelry. And, you know, I was like, you know what, no one cares. Like, you know, half the car would pay attention, half the car wouldn't. Some people would laugh. And I was like, if this dude can do this here, why am I scared to do it in a comedy club?
Right.
So that's what really broke it for. I don't know why that was it, but I tell you, that broke it for me. And I moved back to L.A. a month later, and within the first 10 days I was back in town, I actually got on stage and did my first open mic.
Wow. So you going to the clubs and signing up for open mic nights and whatnot, and trying to get a spot and all of that?
Yeah, my first show, I actually jumped on Craigslist to try to find an open mic in 2010. Found an open mic, did the first show, and I honestly had a few, like, five or six friends come out, and they were like, man, that, you know, that actually went pretty well. My second show was a week later in downtown L.A. Garrett Morris was hosting a show. If people remember back in the day, he was played Mr. King on the Jamie Foxx show. Yeah, yeah, and of course, amazing stage actor, and just, you know, brilliant. So to be on his show for my second show, I'm terrified, right? And I
That's
get off
amazing.
Stage, and he says, "So, son, how long have you been doing comedy?" And I said, "Oh, this is my second show." And he just looked at me. I have this on video, actually. I wish I should have pulled this out. And he just looks at me. The look he has on his face is, I mean, I'll never forget it. And he just taps me on the back as we turn around and take a picture. He goes, "Well, kid, talk to me in a few years. You'll be all right."
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, funny.
You didn't know
no clue.
We're supposed to do that, you know?
No.
You didn't know
clue.
that's not how it works. That's awesome.
Exactly. And, you know, to run into that and to for it to be him, you know, at that early of a stage, I tell people really, really kind of I think gave me a different confidence, honestly, that I probably would have never had, or, you know, still have today when it comes to getting on stage, had I not, you know, had that influence so early.
Well, one of the things I really liked about your act, you know, the bits that were on the special that we watched, I don't even think it's a word, but I can't think of a better term. I'm not as articulate as some people. It's relatability. It is genuine, you know? That whole bit you did about the girls pissing off their father, that was me as a punk rock goth kid in high school. You know, it's like,
yes,
he's got daddy issues. Here I am.
Yes. It's so funny you say that. It's been the number one, and by the way, it's been the number one, at least that I've accepted and enjoyed the most, reviewed and said thing, that it was relatable and extremely genuine. And, you know, I've heard that over and over, and I was like, that's exactly what I was going for, you know, because I tell people, and if you noticed in the show, I don't really like to go into politics. I don't like to, you know, because whether you're red or blue, either way it goes, you alienate half a crowd. So why,
right,
you know, I don't go there, you know, and I try to stay away. I try to make it as close to everybody's kind of, you know, whether it was you or somebody you know has ran into that situation before, heard a story about before. Right, I try to be as general as possible, and then hope that people just enjoy the honesty of it, because, like you said, a lot of it is genuine, because so much of it is true.
I'm telling you, man. I stopped the video, or a commercial came on, actually, and we took instead of getting a glass of orange juice, we took a little break, and I was telling my wife, I said, man, I'll never forget. I said, that reminds me so much. I said, there was this girl, I really liked her, name was Christine. And she invited me over for dinner because I guess she was mad at her dad. Her dad was a cop, but he wasn't like a beat cop. He was like a detective, you know, like he wore a tie.
Right.
And so I'm over there, and I got my Robert Smith spiky hair and chains on my jacket, and, you know, I'm real cool. And he was smart. He must have traveled through time and saw your episode or your special because – and then went back because how he handled this. He's like, oh, I love this kid. He's funny and blah, blah, blah. And he just was my big pal. And Christine wanted nothing more to do with me after that. You know?
He was ahead of his time.
That's right. And I don't think he really liked me looking back now. I think he just wanted me the hell out of his house.
His only way to do it was to like you. Only way my daughter is not going to like this is if I like it.
Exactly. So, I told her that. I mean, it just reminded me watching you, but it was so many things. Mm-hmm. The switch, you know, my grandparents lived in Oklahoma, a little Indian town there called Tahlequah. And, I remember having to cut a switch. Oh, not fun.
Oh, Lord. I mean, I told people so much stuff had to be cut out. I was like, poor grandma, because it ran long. I said, but listen, there's some whooping stories in there, man, with everything from Hot Wheels tracks to hangers.
Oh,
I mean,
man,
whatever was in reach of grandma, right? Whatever Mama Dorothy could grab in those old country houses. But the worst, anytime they sent you to go get that switch, And like I said, that first time I had to go get one, man, it was like, man, what is a switch? And she's like, oh, this is a switch. And I was like, oh, man, this is, well, oh, I prefer a belt. Why don't y'all use that? Let me get a belt.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Hey, Preston, hold the line for a second. We got to pay some bills real quick, but we'll be right back in two shakes here. Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. older adults, and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store. It's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers shrine clothing and alchemy gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with her rock and reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks. So, Preston, we were just talking off mic, and man, I'm floored. I had asked, ladies and gentlemen, I asked Preston, about the special Farm to TV. When he filmed it and whatnot. And Preston, tell everybody what you just told me, because that's amazing to me.
Yes, so we filmed it at a place here in Hollywood called the El Cid on Sunset. And we filmed it 65 minutes one time through, which is very old school. So, yeah, no, I didn't get a chance to perform it before the show. I didn't get a chance to perform the full hour after the show. So literally that night was the first time it was actually performed, the first time it was performed all together, put all the way through, and we happened to catch it on camera, man. So
that's
it really
amazing.
Took a lot of balls because most specials you see today are shot 2, 3, 4 times, and, you know, they piece and edit things together. But I really, in all honesty, I'm a huge Rodney Dangerfield fan, and Kinison and some of these guys who, and you hear the stories about them, how they say, hey, you know, they'd walk into a venue in Houston and, you know, tell the guy, hey, we got a camera and we want to record this. And, you know, next thing you know, they hit an hour and boom, that's their special. And, you know, so it wasn't this big production of, oh, we're always going to put this thing together. And I thought, man, you know, I want to be able to do that. You know, at least try it. I want to be able to say, hey, I went in and put something down one time and that's the special, you know? And so, very gracious, very gracious. Appreciate the fact that people are enjoying it and taking it in and for what it is and really kind of catching that vibe in one take. It really is special.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing. And you're absolutely right. Everybody I know, nobody does that today. You take bits and pieces from your act and then they put them together and, oh, this is working. And some works in some places and some works in others, you know,
Exactly.
They really carve it down, you know, to where it's real streamlined. And man, you're right. The old gangsters used to do it that way. You know,
yes.
Edison and all that.
Yeah, they did. Yes, they did. Listen, they were going to go in and they were going to sweat it out up there and they were going to put it down. And so, and the pressure is different. You know, I really do think the pressure is different. You know, I as soon as I got off there, I was like, man, I wish I could shoot it again. But I was like, no, you know, that's that anxiety. And I think, you know, you saw it at the end. I mean, if you finish and see me walk up at the end and I start crying there, that's what's coming out, you know, when those tears are crying
right.
And I'm thanking everybody. It's because, man, that was terrifying, you know, hey, is this going to work, you know, putting it all together, producing all this stuff, and then, you know, to come back out, and I was really just wanting to say thank you, and the next thing you know, it's like all that raw emotion just came flying out because it was such a relief. I'm like, whew, okay, I think that actually worked.
I can relate on such a micro scale of that. I'm not in the comedy business. I'm not even in the podcast. Well, I kind of am, I guess. But my main thing, what I do for a living, is I paint pictures and of people and stuff and sell those. Been doing that for a long time. And whenever I do a show, even to this day, and I've probably done 500 art shows, at every level, and or various levels, I should say. I've never had an art show in Dubai with, you know, I was writing $1 million checks. We're working on that, you know.
There we go.
But, aim high, right?
Exactly.
But anyway, after a show, traditionally in the art world, what you'll do is you'll go out with your entourage, your group of people, and go to dinner and, you know, and drink a lot. but I never like to do that. I just want to go home, crawl in bed, and put the covers over my head because I've been on. And
yeah.
I really don't like being on, you know what I mean? It's not
yeah.
my natural way. And it takes me about a day. I'm a grouch the next day, you know? I mean, I'm not fun to be around at all
yeah.
because I've been on. Now, you seem very, you know, you're very funny, but it's natural. And you own the stage when you're on it. And even in this conversation here, and I get you're working, you know, this is what you do.
Right.
But are you that way all the time, or is there a hat that goes on when you're working and comes off when you're not?
I am 100% to the T exactly what you just said. I am the same way. I am 100% on when I'm working, and when I am off, it is off. Like,
right.
It is all the way off. And, you know, I probably could have – to be honest, I could have probably schmoozed and gotten here a lot faster, right? I started off, like I said, with the Garrett situation, and then I was at the Comedy Store. I was traveling around. Like, Comedy Store was my home base. I was doing fantastic around, you know, some of these places around here. But like yourself, my thing was I'm so particular. I got there. I didn't really want to drink and hang out, right? Half of the comics, you do your show, then maybe you hang out, have
right.
a drink, meet all the older comics, meet all the guys coming out of the main room, right? Smooth up with those comics, party all night, do it again, and then maybe they bring you into the entourage. All the, like, no, I'm not staying out all night. I come in, I do my show, I go home. You know, and so
absolutely.
I didn't get to know everybody all the night. I was like, I'd stay out, but not. I don't want to stay with a bunch of strangers I don't know trying to rub elbows with random people. I was like, I just want to go home.
And for some reason,
like,
I don't know if it's this way in the comedy world. Man, it is in the art. Everybody, I don't know what it is. I've never fronted like this. I've never played it like. Everybody always seems to think that I've got this big pile of money that I light cigars with and stuff. And that I'm buying the rounds and the bottle service. And it's like, I've been to events where I've got 50 cents a month. You know, I maybe have a $10
sure.
bill that I'll use as a tip. But
right.
other than that, you know, the
I'm the artist.
Well is dry.
I'm the one. I'm the one trying to make the moves, right? I'm the hit one entertaining.
Exactly.
Y'all are supposed to provide me with the drink, you know? Why do I need to... That's me. I'm very much all right, well, this has been fun, you know, the gig's good. But like you said, hey, if I need to be on, I can turn it on quickly.
Right.
But it's definitely an on switch. My mom used to make fun of me as a kid after church. She said she never saw anybody declothe so fastly every Sunday. Once I got in the house, I could walk in my room and 40 seconds later come out in a completely new outfit. I was like, because I hated the tightness of church clothes. And I was like, just like we're
right.
Like, it was a different side of me. I was like, okay, now that that's over, back to me. You know, and that's really how I am too in just day-to-day life.
Let me ask you this. Now, in your act, the whole act's really about your transition from, you know, you're growing up and whatnot, and then hitting out west there, out in the West Coast, via Kansas State. You talk about your mom and family members, your grandparents, or your grandmothers and whatnot. But then then you get into some stuff, you know, with sexual fetishes and all. I mean, have you performed that and moms is sitting in the eye? That's got to be rough, huh? Or not really.
So for me with, you know, because I think you can get a tone from my mother that, you know, she's this Southern Baptist kind of stricter woman.
Right.
I was terrified. You know, there was a lot of buildup during this time period before the release, and I was excited, and I kept telling Mom and Mama Dorothy how excited I was for them to see it. And then the week of it came, and the more I started thinking about the show, the more I started thinking, God, is this going to make, like, is this going to be okay? It's really been rough. So, you know, I told the release folks, I said, you know, I'm not really worried about anybody's reviews, right? I mean, I hope they're good. I really do. I wonder what Mom and Mama Dorothy are going to say. Like, that's all I really cared about.
Right.
So fortunately, Mama Dorothy said it best. She said, baby, it's just entertainment. You know, I know that's just jokes. I know it. I was like, you're exactly right, Mama Dorothy. It's just jokes. Ain't none of that you heard was real. You know all that was fake. Exactly. That's exactly what that was.
Man, that is funny. That is funny. But you are right, man. You meet some interesting individuals. And I'm not throwing shade at anybody. I'm not judging anybody. As long as two people can consent to whatever and they're both down with it, more power
exactly.
to you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I might not be getting into it, but I ain't gonna,
right.
you know. March in the street about it or anything. I don't care. I got things
right.
to do.
That's the difference with that joke that I told so many people about is that people out here love that joke a ton. People back home are like, oh, man, that's kind of crazy. And I'm like, yeah, that's the difference. You don't know those people. Right? It's weird there. But like in Florida, for the love of God, Florida, South Beach, and New York, I was like, out here?
Yeah.
Those people are out here in droves. It's not, you know, it's not as quiet as it would be in a small, tiny town, Oklahoma or Texas.
Oh, man, it is so true. When I moved to California, to Southern California, I just became friends with all these people, kind of like you did, that were in that they were in the adult business. Let me put it that way.
Right.
And, and your friends, you support each other and this and that. How they supported me is they buy paintings. So to this
exactly.
day, I will get probably 3 or 4 emails a week, sometimes more, but usually 3 or 4 at the minimum, people saying, I saw some of your paintings in this porn I was watching on the wall. Like they noticed junk with you at the desk, you know? And they're like, what is that about? Are you selling to porn company? And I'm like, no, they filmed that at the person at such and such's house who was in the show. You know, I'm
exactly.
Sure. And,
you know, I can't help where they hang.
Yeah, I can't. I don't got
That's
porn movie
fault.
Money. Are you kidding me?
Right.
I wish I did. Damn.
Oh, that is
oh,
great.
But it's so true. You meet all kinds of interesting people, and it isn't. I mean, I've been to some parties because you meet people and then you hang out with them and they're like, hey, let's go over and hit such and such, and okay. And you don't know what you're getting into. You walk into the place, and somebody's dressed up like a dog. You know, I've been to those parties.
You nailed it. People don't get it. That could literally be a Saturday afternoon, and you had no clue. You ran into somebody cool at the beach, had a conversation. Hey, let's go to this party. Next thing you know, why is she on a leash? What?
What is that?
Well, cool beans. Looks like I'm learning something new today.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I went to this party one time in Silver Lake, which is where a lot of those films used to, I don't know if they still film in there. Back when I was in Southern California, that's where a lot of those were filmed
neighborhood.
And somebody said, hey, you know, let's go to this part. Okay, so we went. And when we walked in, it was in this house's backyard. We walked into the backyard, me and my friend, and I got worried because it was all these bikers, like mean-looking dudes, you know, like Detroit-looking dudes. Holy moly, this ain't good at all. And, you know, they're walking up very purposefully, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't know about this. And it's all guys. It's all guys, mean-looking guys. Look like a road warrior hangout. And they come up, and they all had the voice, the very femme, you know, voice. They were right here, right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It didn't match their look at all.
It was
a great party.
Oh my god, that is hilarious! Totally completely different vibe change. Now you're like, oh good lord, well, at least I'm not fearful of that anymore.
Exactly. Oh man, well your special is so great, and it didn't seem that long. I mean, what'd that run, about an hour or so?
Yes, exactly, right at an hour.
See, I think that's a good time. I think that's a great time length. And we just really enjoyed it. We sat there and watched the whole thing, and we're just really entertained. And I'll tell you, my wife, you have to understand, my wife, her entertainment is, and I don't know if I should be worried about this, but it's usually either murder shows or, you know, 90 Day Fiance, stuff like that. She loves that. I guess it makes her feel better about herself. I don't know. But she isn't watching comedy like I, you know, and movies about war and stuff. She ain't watching that. But afterwards, I asked her, I said, what'd you think? She goes, oh my gosh, he is so funny. He's hilarious. He's going to be on your show? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, he's so good. That was so much fun.
That is amazing. Thank you. Thank you very much for actually watching something outside of her normal genre, and I hope she was able to. I'm glad she got a giggle in her too.
Absolutely, as long as she doesn't buy me any sneakers and a bag of rocks, I'm okay.
It's funny, my nephew. He goes, Uncle, do you remember that really happened? I was like, I know that really happened. I was like, of course I remember. I was like, by the way, I wasn't joking. That long skinny mirror got a ton of work in Mom's room.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know what we're talking about, you got to watch the special.
Listen, there's no way you'll miss what we're talking about with those rocks if you watch that special.
That is right. Oh man, I remember though. We didn't get the free the HBO for free. We got for a little bit. They had it unscrambled. My dad bought one of those ginormous. This is back in the 80s, before your time.
Yeah.
Those big satellites that looked like we were sending signals to the moon. You know. HBO and Cinemax and all that were unscrambled for a minute, for about a couple months, maybe 6 months. So we were watching all this stuff, and Cinemax had like some comedy show. It was like Friday Night Laughs or something like that. And it was in the 80s. And your special, I don't want to say your special was dated by any means, but it had a vibe like that. Just a real one-take vibe, you know? And it really worked. I hope more people do
thank
that.
Thank
you. You know?
I really say thank you, and like I said, the fact that, you know, now that I've gone out in multiple interviews have said that same thing about that feel, I was like, no, I really do take that as a compliment, and that was the hope. I don't know, I think some of the older comics, you know, I think the folks like Dave and the Kevins and those guys, the Bill Burrs, I think they could easily do it, But, you know, their contracts are also so big now with these you know,
right,
the Netflix specials that, you know, Netflix doesn't want to take that chance. You know, they don't. Right? For them, it's like, listen, we mitigate our risk as humanly, you know, as much as humanly possible. So, no, you're going to go shoot it 7 times in 7 cities.
Exactly. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages. Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us. www.jamierocks.us.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please, visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rucks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
You know, it's interesting because I tell you, it's the, I don't know if it's this year or if things would have wound up like this even without the pandemic and whatnot. A lot of people in entertainment, and I hate the term content creator because it just sounds so art school and pretentious to me, you know.
Yes.
People that are doing their stuff, you know, their little things, you know, little podcasts, whatever. It really seems that people have grabbed onto that, and even with the things opening up again, they're like, I ain't going back to work. I'm doing a cooking show.
People really have. It really, like, you know, they're like, this is what makes me happy now. People have really kind of stuck to it.
It's interesting. It's interesting. Now, you're going to see, I bet you, in the next year, but when you're back at the grind of the clubs and doing stuff and trying things out on people and this and that, and, you know, doing your business, I bet you those open mic nights are going to be interesting. I'm not saying that they're going to be just great, because there's a lot of people that are probably going, ooh, I want to be a comedian. Now I'm going to go try this out.
Right, and, they've been sitting at home for a year, like, I can do it.
Yeah, they shouldn't be doing that. You know, they should be doing insurance claims or whatever. But
well,
it'll be interesting to see.
I do think you're correct there. And I, by the way, I always encourage people when they've asked me before, or you know, hey, should I do it? I've always said yes. I encourage yes.
Absolutely.
Because comedy will weed out who isn't supposed to be there very quickly. That's what I said. Go ahead. Yeah, get on up there. No, you'll be fine. You'll be great. Try it. You'll know in a show or two really quickly, when, you know, because in your head, the idea is I'm funny,
And I'm
funny for my friends, and I'm funny here. Yeah, you're real funny. Get up there in front of 100 people with just you and a microphone and make everybody laugh. And it all changes when that light hits your face.
Absolutely. In my world, it's the same thing. Everybody's like, oh, I wish I could sit around like you and paint all day. And I'm like, yeah, me too. And they're like, well, that's what I want to do. And I'm like, that's cool. Try it. I said, understand, an 18-hour day is what I call a Tuesday, and maybe five of that is painting.
Exactly.
Emails and, oh, man, fighting with Amazon France to take stuff. It's a whole other, I don't want to get into it, but.
Right,
but,
they see the finished product. They don't know or see all the work that goes before that gets there. How many times I've ducked out of the light and jerked off in some lady's face or dive face and moved over. Done it 1,000 times. It might have looked cool to you that once, but I've done it 1,000 times.
Right. Absolutely. That's so funny. And he does that, folks. You got to watch the special. It's amazing. No. People are like, what?
No, right. Like, what? Exactly. They're jerking off and people say, oh, good Lord, why didn't you say that at the start of the show?
That's because you got a banner. Oh, man. Hey, I just looked, Preston, at the time, and I know it's so funny when we start. I'm like, are you good for 20, 25 minutes? And I had you for 45. I'm so sorry. You're fascinating to talk to. And
no,
I could easily do a Joe Rogan and talk to you for 3 hours because you're hilarious. But I don't know if everybody would hang with us. I know, real quick before we wrap things up, though, I know we're pushing Farm to TV, and that's the forefront right now. And I want everybody, like I said, we have links and all social media links, all of that up on our show page. But are the gears turning for the next special or move, do you think? Or is it just focused on Farm to TV right now?
I have had, you know, with the success of Farm to TV here, I've had some new scripts come in. So, you know, hopefully reading all these, I'll have a movie role next to be promoting. And then, yeah, for me, next, I really did hammer out a lot of new comedy here during this last year. So I'm pretty close to ready to do another special. So for me going forward, I'll definitely be hitting the road. And I think the tentative title while I hit the road will be Farmed and Dangerous for number two.
Nice.
So this time, you know,
I
think that's what's going to happen as the world opens up here this summer. I'll be on the road, hopefully trying to promote and start tour number two.
Awesome. Well, you have a new friend in South Florida, and I can't wait to see more, hear more. And, you know, let's stay right in touch when you need something, you know, helping get the word out. I've got your back, man. I've got your back. My one last thing that I want you to do is I know that you have that guy's name. From the corporate job that talked about how well-spoken you were. And it's very easy to track somebody down. I've done it with ex-girlfriends many times on Facebook and Instagram and whatnot. And send him the Tubi link. That's all I want you to do is just say,
oh, my. You know what?
Look how well-spoken I am. I'm getting paid to be well-spoken. You know, like, seriously.
You know,
You know what? That is brilliant. I just because I 100% know that I can, I'm now doing that.
It's just doing him a service, helping him out, you know? Helping him
trust the thing. Just giving him a great reminder.
That's right. Check and mate, MF-er.
Right.
Check and mate. Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, Preston, keep doing what you're doing. You are wicked good at it. And, you know, I want everybody, you don't have to pay for it. It's free, man. You can watch this. As soon as you finish listening to this, go on whatever it is you stream with and don't tell me you don't stream because everybody has a phone or a Roku or a PlayStation or a fancy TV or something.
Exactly.
I know after the past year, everybody's streaming. You know, go on Tubi. You don't even, like Preston said, you don't even sign up for it. You just put in Preston Taylor, or you just put in Fonda TV. It's easier to find it that way than putting in,
yes,
for some reason. I don't know. It comes up, and I know this because I was putting in Preston Taylor on the PlayStation, and then something happened, and I had to do something, and then I came back. I'm like, oh, it didn't save it. Well, let me just put in, and I put the F and the A, and it popped right up. So,
I was like, it popped up extremely fast. And you can't miss the banner. You know, there's not many black guys wearing a cowboy hat riding a cow. So if you miss that banner, I mean, yeah, naked. So if you miss that banner, you're just not looking, ladies and gentlemen. You just, we made sure that it popped enough that you got the idea that it was farm to TV.
Hilarious. Hey, everybody, that's going to wrap it up for us. Preston, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the show. I really appreciate it. You are awesome.
Hey, no. Thank you, Jamie. I really appreciate you all having me on today, man. It was really an awesome time. Definitely rock.
Awesome. Very cool. I can't wait for the next time, man. I can't wait for the next time. Ladies and gentlemen,
likewise.
This episode will be I'm telling you. I could do an episode. You are hilarious. I could, you know. And hey, just between you and me, the audience will have no idea what we're talking about. Break a leg on Saturday. I think that there's something there, man. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Folks, this episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast. It'll be pushed out on all the various social media platforms and on all the podcasting platforms. We're on like 300 of them. If you want to listen to this on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, whatever, we're on it, man. Apple Podcast, they used to call it iTunes. We're on all that. So, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Have a good one.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hanna Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages. Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rocks Gear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.